27. Matthew 27. And we'll start with just the one verse here, but we've got several others that we'll look at. Matthew 27, verse number 54. Says, let's read it together. It's just the one verse. We'll start out with it together. Matthew 27, verse 54. Please, let's read it together. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. The reason why the Bidlacs are gone is because their son Spencer, most of us know, remember Spencer, graduated from his boot camp today. National Guard. Thank you. Now listen, if you're going to give me the right answer, you got to speak louder, okay? National Guard, so praise the Lord for that. But it reminded me, as we were looking forward to helping, praying for them and so forth, that we have a military that needs our prayers, that needs God's attention. And there's many that are asking the same thing. In fact, there's a lot, I'll say this, there is a lot of spirituality in the military. And not all of it is bad, but there is a lot of bad spirituality in the military. Satan loves to work in those lives too. But that's where God uses you and me to help and to pray and perhaps even to intervene in God's timing. So we're looking tonight, we want to look tonight at why America's military should be reached. Here we read about this centurion. He's mentioned in three of the four Gospels. This particular moment is recorded for us. And we'll look at just a couple of them tonight. But as we consider him and those that serve their country, the need that there is to pray, to reach out to them, and let God work in their life too. I'm thankful for those missionaries that do that. And, you know, chaplains were supposed to do that, but now there's so many different avenues of chaplaincy in different backgrounds that, and the truth is, the chaplaincy that I understand is that a chaplain has to be willing to perform any kind of religious task that he's asked. So if he's a Christian, he's going to be asked to do something that's non-Christian. And they have to make a decision on those things. So there's a lot of things to ask God's help with. But I want to look at this tonight, why America's military should be reach. Would you bow with me? We'll ask God to help us before we go any further, and then we'll look some more. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for using those that are willing to serve and protect our country to help us, Lord, even tonight, to enjoy freedom in this place, freedom to open the scriptures and take them home, and freedom to share it with somebody. Lord, those are all freedoms that we take for granted every day or a lot. Now we ask, Lord, that you would help us to see the importance of just asking and working in lives who are part of that process. We pray you get the glory for all this tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Centurion. A centurion. What's kind of the military breakdown of Rome? Here's a couple thoughts here. A legion, which was a full foot soldiers, had about 6,000 men, and that made up 10 cohorts. So cohort is not just a figure of speech, it was an actual thing. One cohort would be, so if there's 6,000, 10 of them make a cohort, or divided in 10 as cohorts, there'd be 600, would make three units. One unit is 200 men, and so they would call those two centuries. A century was always led by a centurion, and obviously 100 men in the century. A little thought to consider their military at that time, Caesar Augustus, who lived during the time of Christ's birth, not during his ministry, he had at least 25 legions. And if you do the quick math, you'll figure out that's 150,000 soldiers. With that amount of military, Rome conquered the known world. And you say, wow, that's a lot of people. Guess how much the largest military has the largest number of soldiers, or I should say servicemen, in their military today? First of all, let me ask you this. What country would it be?
China.
How many do they have? Any guesses? 2 million. You're not allowed to answer any of these questions. You know these answers. Which is roughly twice as many as America. That's almost twice as much as America's servicemen. Now, they don't have the technology that we do. That's why a lot of this stuff that you hear about with China is, we need to pray that God protects our country from those things. Because there's no doubt China would use it. They would use it. And they do try. They already do. But by God's grace, He protects us. Why is that important to consider? Well, because every military is made up of individuals, and we want to look at that tonight. So let's take a look at this as we begin. Number one, a soldier has a story, a life. Centurions from 500 BC, they should say they existed from 500 BC, roughly around the time the Roman Empire is historically said to have started, and then to the fall of the Roman Empire, which most put at around 476 AD. There is a splinter of it that existed for another 700-800 years, and they became the Byzantine Empire. How many have ever heard of the Byzantine Empire? Our text for the King James Version had a lot of manuscripts from the Byzantine Empire era, and God preserved His word through much of what they did. The centurion was born into a Roman family. So he could not be, say, from America, have immigrated to Rome or Italy, and then become a centurion. He had to have that historical background in his family. He was known for being law-abiding and for stability in his own family structure. A centurion stood out from other soldiers. He showed courage in military campaigns. There was something notable about him that his superior officer said, man, this is a guy we ought to consider for that position, who could lead men. He was noted for mature decision-making. Let's take a look in Luke chapter 7, where centurions were used in a particular office or position, I guess you could say. Luke chapter 7, let's take a look. And verses 1 through 5. In fact, I've got some other verses if I could have some help with them. Who would take Acts chapter 10, verses 1 and 2? All right, Leland's going to read that. Thank you. And then Isaac, I saw your hand. Luke 23, if you would. Luke 23, 46 and 47. And then Mark 15, verse 39. Who would take that? How about Judy Kleehammer? Thank you. And then Daryl, I think I saw your hand, sir. Isaiah 55. Verse 8 and 9, if you would, thank you. Then we have Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Would someone be willing to take that one? Colossians 4, verse 3, verse 4. This lady over here, faith. And then Proverbs 25, 25, easy to remember. Proverbs 25, 25, who would like to share that when we get to that? All right, Vicki's going to read that. Thank you. The others will read together, starting in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Here's what it says. Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built a synagogue. Here's a centurion who had a desire to help the nation where he was posted. And the Bible, at least the Jews thought, he loves us, he cares about us, which was unusual. It was not normal to have military Roman people act that way. So he was an international, here's the word, peacekeeper. One of the ways he helped keep the peace, he helped build a synagogue and a place to worship God for the local people. So every soldier has a story. When you consider the military, I encourage you, you know, we certainly have all kinds of groups out there and branches and so forth, but remember, it is people. It's a person that gets started and eventually moves up to whatever position they have. And God can use them, and God does use them, but we're asking God to touch their heart as well as their ability. Soldier needs, he has a story. Number two, a soldier needs to look to Jesus. Luke chapter 3, would you go there with me? Just a couple pages back if you're in Luke there. Chapter 3, let's take a look, verse 2 to verse 14. And let's do read this, if you would, responsively, if you would, with me. Luke chapter 3, starting in verse number 2. And reading down to verse 14. So I'll start with verse 2. If you'd read verse 3, we'll go back and forth. Verse 14, that's where we're going to stop. Verse number 2, here's what it says. Annas and Caiaphas, being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
And every valley shall be filled, and every mountain
and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do?
And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed
you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? For he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So it's interestingly enough here, there are soldiers, here's the thought, many Roman soldiers recognized the need for God. They recognized that even in the time of Jesus and the time before he became well known. Here as John the Baptist was baptizing, he was preaching, and he was saying, yeah, you know, our country has put so much faith in their pedigree. You know, my mom and dad, my grandparents, my this, my that, our land. And he said, that's not what God's looking for. He's looking for repentance of the heart. And here's how you show it. And he shared with the various groups of people. Interestingly, he tells the soldiers, what's the first thing he tells them not to do? He tells them to go out and beat up people. What does he tell them? Do violence to no man. And why would he tell them that? Because that's what they were doing. That was part of what they were known for. And he was beginning to share with them, listen, if you want to do something for God and have a change in the heart, this is how it's going to show. Then he continues on. And we read, if we read the whole chapter here, we would see that Jesus came by as well in a day that he began to share his ministry. Let's move on here. Matthew chapter 8. Let's go there. Matthew chapter 8. Let's look at verse number 5. So this is the same story we heard in Luke chapter 7, same guy, little bit different perspective. Let's hear what he has to say and give us some thoughts on that. Verse number 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now let's hear what Jesus said about him. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great what? Faith. No, not in Israel. They understood there's a need. Many of them did. Acts chapter 10. Leland's going to read that for us. Nice and loud. Verse 1 and 2.
There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called Simon, which was of the Italian band, a devout man and a fear of God, with all his house, which gave much out to the people and prayed to God always.
Okay, thank you. So this is about the centurion named Cornelius. You may have read about him in the Bible. The Bible says he was a man who prayed and feared God. But was he a Christian? In verse 1 and 2. No, he was not. Is the man we read about in Matthew 27, what he said about Jesus, does that mean he's a Christian? Not necessarily, no. But the point is this, is that these men recognize there's a spiritual side that has to be addressed. There's this part of the spiritual of man, spirituality of man, that we can't control. We need somebody else's help. And they recognize that they alone cannot do that. That's something interesting. And it, by the way, it still rings true today. A lot of the military, they understand there's need. And yet, they train them to depend on themselves or their equipment and others. But there's still the soul of the individual who understands, man, something needs to be touched. And what I'm learning isn't going to reach that far. Mark 15, verse 39, let's hear from, I'm sorry. Luke 23, let's hear from Luke 23, verse 46 and verse 47. Again, the same event in Matthew 27, we hear about in Luke 23. Okay, thank you. So again, this soldier glorified God after meeting Jesus. Does not say necessarily he'd put his faith in God, but he recognized this man is different than all the rest of us. He's not like us. And other passages say that there were some events going on perhaps they were aware of and said, yeah, this is connected to him. These things are connected to him. Mark 15, verse 39 also gives us another thought about soldiers need to look to Jesus.
And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that, he so cried out and gave up the ghost. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God.
Okay, thank you. Again, there's the third passage. The soldier believed Jesus is divine. He is divine. And praise the Lord, he had this understanding. But again, we were not given in the Bible whether he had an instant faith in Jesus Christ. But you have to believe he's on the road. Amen. He has to at least understand God's beginning to show him these things. Did he become a Christian? We don't know. Wouldn't you hope so, though?
Yes.
Wouldn't you hope so? You know, the truth of the matter is, I think there's young men and women in the military today, and they are very much like this guy. They see, you know, they've heard about Jesus. Perhaps they went to Sunday school and church when they were younger. And now they're being faced with reality. Your mom and dad aren't there to help you. Your church isn't going to be there on Sunday because you're far away from them, etc. What are you going to do about your spiritual life? Hey, friends, this is where your prayers can make a difference. And as God allows to speak to people in that situation. But they had an understanding of who Jesus was and glorified God. But did they take the next step of faith? Well, that's what we can ask God to reach down and reach these people about. A soldier can be reached for Christ through you. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 gives us a thought on that. Okay, thank you. It's impossible for me to do anything for military people. I don't know anybody. I don't live near a base. There's nothing I can do. But the Bible says, wait a minute, maybe God knows something that you don't know. How many think God knows something that you don't know? Yeah, he knows a lot that we don't know. And he could work in a way that could help answer that request and prayer. That burden. Let's take a look in Acts 23. Take a look here in Acts 23 and read another instance when God used military for his purposes. Here's the blank, I'm sorry. Consider God's use of our military for his purposes. For his purposes. Acts 23, take a look in verse number 6 here. Let's see. So here was the Apostle Paul, and he was there was a whole group of people lined up to see if they could execute him and criticize his Savior. He began to share about Jesus, and then he realized he was in the presence of two different groups of men. Let's see. Verse number 6 is where I want to start. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead. I am called in question." And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit. But the Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Can God use those that serve in the military but yet are not saved? They're not looking to honor God in any way. Can he use them? Let me ask you, has he used somebody in your life like that? Has no idea who the Lord is, but man, somehow they helped you. You know, whether it was a legal matter or just a situation in life, it had to be taken care of and they had the answer. They could help. God can use people like that. Well, why does he use people like that? And especially if there's communication, if there's a connection that you can make that's personal, why does he bring them into your life? So they can see, hey, Jesus exists and Jesus lives, and we can tell them about it as opportunity opens up. The soldiers, they believe. A soldier can be reached for Christ as we consider his use of them, our military, for his purposes. Letter B, what's some things we can do? Couple things specific. Pray, and we talked about that already. Pray for and witness to our military. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Okay, here in Paul's letter, he was writing to the church at Colossae, and the Bible says, he says, pray that we give the gospel, we utter the scriptures, we utter the Lord Jesus to those around us. While I am in, what did he say there at the end? While I'm in bonds, while I'm imprisoned, and most likely at that time in to military people under guard. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let's take a look there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And verses 1 to verse 4. Would you read these with me? We'll read all four verses together, please. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, let's go ahead and read it together. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So you can put all people under that umbrella, amen. But as we consider tonight, who was the last soldier you prayed for to get saved? Who is the last person that you know is serving or is planning to, or maybe even a veteran, let's put it there, that you just simply prayed, would you work in their life and draw them to you? And folks, that's why I share this tonight, because a lot of them don't have that. They don't know that. But you and I can be someone like that for somebody tonight. Here's a final thought. Letter C, thank and encourage America's military. Proverbs 25:25. Vicki's got that.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country.
Okay, thank you very much. And there's still, our military is still spread out throughout the world. Man, they could use some good news, some good encouragement. But if we see someone nearby, let them know. Let them know. Sometimes it wouldn't hurt us. You say, wait a minute, do you know the price of gas? Yeah, I do. I do. We got vehicles too. But would it really put you in the poorhouse if you walked up to a vet or a military person and say, I'd like to help you with that because I appreciate you? And then you can walk away and say, here's something about God that I think would be helpful to you. Something to encourage them and thank him for. As I said there, the statistic there, that's from 2025, 1.3 million U.S. active armed forces throughout the world, most of them in America today. Most of them are in America, not all around the world, but there are some who can use our prayers. Let's go pray for them. Let's go pray for them tonight.